besides the regular names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're familiar with, Yudke, Bavke, Elokim, Shem Shakai, those are the names that we're familiar with. There are many other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those that know the functionality of those names and they have the proper Kavanah, so they're able to use them as keys in order to effectuate, you know, whatever those names represent. There's a name of fertility, for example. The name of fertility is Shem Shakai. Sheen, Dalet, and Yud. And you would ask, you know, why, how is that the name of fertility? Well, if I would do it like this, I would show you Sheen, Dalet, and Yud. Now, you see over here, Shin, Dalet, and Yud, the inner letters over here. The inner letters are Yud and Nun, Shin, which is 60, Lamed Taf, correct, which is 430, and Vav Dalet on the Yud, which is 10. So that would equal 500. Well, 500 is very significant because Peru Urvu, obviously you need Ish V'Isha. Gemara says, how many rooms does a man have? 48. 248 is right. And how many rooms does a lady have?
47.
How many?
247.
No, she has actually some women, but she has the factory of baby factory. So the 252 is correct. So therefore, when you put a man and a woman together to have a baby, so you're putting together Ish V'Isha, which is 500. And therefore, the inner letters of Shem Shakai equals 500, which is Keneged Ish V'Isha. I'll give you an example.
What are the extra four that the woman has?
The extra four? Well, she has extra in her jaw, because that's what they talk about. No, I'm just joking about it. She has the ovaries and all that. So that's that. Now, what would be the mitzvah of having children, boys? No coincidence. Peru Urvu. How much is Peru?
286
is absolutely correct. And how much would Urvu be?
214.
Well, that's exactly what we needed. Just 500 as well. That's why Peru Urvu is 500, because Peru Urvu is Ish V'Isha. 500. And Shem Shakai, the inner letters are representing the 500 of Periyah V'Ribyah. Understood so far? So therefore, you'll see in the Torah that whenever the Avot are going to bless their children, Ve'el Shaddai Yivarech Otcha V'Yafrecha, Ve'kel Shakai, you know, is the Ani Kel Shakai Pere Urveh. Another person from the Torah. So whenever you see that Shem, you know that that's a Shem of fertility. Now, I will tell you also that to fulfill the mitzvah, according to Beit Hillel, what do you need to fulfill the mitzvah? A boy and a girl. So you need Ben and Bat. How much is Ben and Bat?
42.
So that would equal altogether 454. Now go back to our Shem Shakai and take the last letters, the Nun, the Taf, and the Dalet. And that is 454, which is Ben Ubat. So in the letters already of Shem Shakai, in the inner letters, you see already many of them are zin to to what I'm saying over here. And so you follow me so far, boys? I didn't come to talk about this. This is just an example of another shem that has functionality, you know, in other ways that you never thought of. Maybe you heard of the Gemara. The Gemara says
in Masechet Shabbat. See if you could finish this statement. Hanagil Bener. Anybody know what it says? Hanagil Bener. That's right. Abiyam Bener. Banim. Tamizne Hasamim.
The Gemara says that one that is careful in the ner, hadagil bener, meaning ner Shabbat, hadagil bener, havyan nebanim tamid achmi. Maybe you saw one time a lady when she's lighting ner on Shabbat, so she has kavanot for her children. She prays for her children. It's a sigula that at the time of the candle lighting, the Zohar Kadosh says the lady can pray for her husband, that she should make panasad also for the success of her children. How many nerot do we like using on Friday night?
Two.
The minimum. No, it depends too. Let's take two, right? Minimum? Mm-hmm. How much is ner, boys?
450.
We like two of them, correct? So that's 500 again. That's Peru Vu. That's Yishvi Isha. That's the inner letters of Shem Shakai. So you see how all these things are connected. But what does it mean when the Gemara used these words, Haragil Bener? What does Haragil Bener mean? One who is accustomed, which means they're not lighting, they're not sporadically. It's a constant minhag. Every week they're lighting it. And this is But if you notice something very interesting, the word Haragil, how much is Haragil equal to us?
448.
That's the man. And Bener? That's the lady. So therefore, Haragil Bener is the name is also the Isha. Haragil Bener is the 248. So when the Gemara was Meramez, in those words, Haragil Bener, this concept. So again, Bezat Hashem, you get married and you want to have children. So Hashem Shakai, you have Kavanah, you know, before you go to the mikveh, that the Hashem Shakai should, you know, be with you and give you fertility and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So if this is a fertility name, wouldn't we be interested to know the name of Parnasah? Well, how are you going to know the name of Parnasah? So you're going to have to open up Rabbeinu Ha'ari. But some of you are intimidated to open up Rabbeinu Ha'ari. So you can open up the Bein Ish Chai. And the Bein Ish Chai gives you the Kavanot. And all of the Kavanot, basically, come from one pasuk that we say every day in the Tefillah. And that is Oteya et Yadecha Umaskiya Bechol Chai Ratzon. Good? And I don't know if you have the custom, but some have the custom when they say Oteya et Yadecha, they open their hands. Why are you opening your hands?
To receive it.
Exactly. Not that it's an instruction to open your hands. No, God is opening up his hands. You open your hands as a minhag to receive the beracha. One time I was sitting next to an Israeli politician who remained nameless, and I opened my hands like this, and he opens his hand like this. So he said, Rabbi Mansour, you open your hands like this, the beracha is going to fall to the floor. I open my hands like this, at least I catch it. I said, that's the difference between me and you. God sees that I open my hands like this, so he sends me a wide panasa. You open your hands like this, so you get a small panasa. He didn't have to answer that too much. Anyway, the Ben Ish Chai says that the key...
It's also written in the hand like this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the more than, yeah. Well, everybody gets animated at this point of the tefillah, obviously, because, you know, they think that the more they make these gestures, but they don't realize that it's not the hand gestures, boys. It's the kavanot that I'm going to give you now, which is the key. And then I'll explain to you, based on this, a Gemara and Berachot. Poteya et chadecha, the Ben Ish Chai says, the first kavana is the Rashi Tevot. Pe, Aleph, Yud. It's Hashem. This is the name of Hashem. Pe, Aleph, Yud. You never heard of it before, but it comes from the Rashi Tevot, Poteya et chadecha. So when you say the words Poteya et chadecha, and you mechaven Pe, Aleph, Yud, so you're connecting to the Shema Parnasa. There's another Shema Parnasa that comes from the Sofer Tevot. And that is Het, Taf, Chaf, Hatach. It's another Shem. So far so good? But they got two Shemot. Now I will tell you that Hatach equals how much voice? Shem Hatach equals 428. If you take the word Umaspiya, is a man. How many are boys? Vav is how much? 6? 46, 346, 348, 358, 358 plus 70?
428.
428,
yeah.
Okay, mute. So, Ben Ish Chai says that not only do you have the Kabbalah Hatach, but when you say the word Umasbiya, you also have in Kabbalah that this must be that God satiates from this Shem Hatach. So far, so good. Now there's a third Kabbalah that you have to have, and that's the Shem Samech Aleph Lamed. Now the magic over here is, where in the world does that name come from in this configuration? That's the name that's unknown. That's the hidden name. You see. So I'm going to teach you something that you have to know. Are you familiar, boys, with the system in the Hebrew alphabet called Atbash?
Yeah.
I didn't say opposite, I said Atbash.
Yeah.
Atbash, not the opposite.
It's referred to the Sefer Megillah?
It's correct.
And forget exactly where.
Correct, now she brings it down. Very good. You know how it works? Aleph is converted to a Taf. Vet. Sheen, give it to me, boys. Gimel, Resh, Dalet, Kof, He, Tzadi, Vav, Pe, Zayin, Ayin, Pet, it's Chas v'Shalom, Kokotin, Yotet, Tet is Nun, Yud is Mem, and Chaf is Lam. Okay, very good. So this is the Atbash, you have to know that. The Zohar Kadosh is very serious about these Atbashes because it's another style of using the Hebrew letters. We use the Hebrew letters in different ways. We use them straight, we use them backwards. Backwards would be called Tashrat. Taf, Shin, Resh, Kof, Tashlak, going backwards. This is called Atbash. In the Tefillot, for example, we use these systems a lot. Where, for example, in the Tefillah on a Monday and a Thursday, would we use Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet? And Anche Emunah. Anche Emunah Avadu, Ba'im Bechor Maseh, Giburim Ma'amud Bateres, Lohim Et HaGezerot, Hayulam Le'oma, Ul Ma'zeh B'yom Zahar. You see, it's following Aleph Bet. On Thursday, we say Tamanu Mera'ot. That goes backwards. Tashash Kohenu Mesarot, Shachnu Ad Le'od, Rahum. No, Shachayim uses Aleph Bet Gimel. Rahum kachi middatenu kishe'e oref umamim ha'anachum. Tza'aknu befinu hatanu petantol ve'ikesh. Then we're going backwards. The next paragraph uses Atbash. Elokeinu ve'elokei avotenu. Al ta'asimanu kala tohez yadecha b'mishmar. Bebo tokecha negdecha shemenu mesemecha al tema. Gishtecha la'akon musar rahamecha yikadimu nubzecha. Danut ma'azim b'shorecha. So in those three paragraphs, you have Aleph Bet Gimel straight, you have Tashlak, and then you have Atbash. So we pray to God in all these scenarios. Now, what would the atbash of hatach be? Using the key. The het we said is a what?
Samach.
A samach, and the taf we know is an aleph. And the kaf is a what? A lam. So the atbash of hatach is this. That's where you get this name from. And I know what you're thinking. Why? Now I know how you got it. It's the atbash of, you understand? The atbash of hatach is samach aleph lamed. But why? What's the significance? I once asked an old mikubal, when I was about 18, 19 years old, I asked him this question. And if I remember correctly, this is what he told me. He said that when people pray for Parnassah, this becomes a highlight of their of their life. They have to make money. Everything's about making money. And we all know as we get older, life is not about making money. There's more important things in life, raising a family, doing mitzvot. The adage goes that you cannot take your money with you. This is something that's not transferable. The Havra Kadisha buries a person in shrouds, and there's no pockets in the shrouds for good reason, because there's nothing to take. So therefore, everybody's going to die one day, and therefore you're supposed to remember that although you need parnasa, but that's not your primary purpose in life. Although people will tell you that the whole focus is making money. That's a juvenile way of looking at life. Why would you work on something that you cannot take with you for eternity? That's an ephemeral pleasure. That's very temporary. A smart person is involved in things that will last long term. Even in investments, people that invest in real estate would be considered smarter because at least it's a real investment, something that's there. But clearly, that's not as real as something that can be transferred to Olam Haba, like a mitzvah. So therefore, while it's important to pray for Parnassah, you have to remember that man is finite. And therefore, when you remember that, it tempers the person. The way you remember that is by remembering the following three words. Sof, Adam, Lamut. Sof, Adam, Lamut is actually the Rashi Tevot of that shin. So they put that shin there in order to temper the guy. You know, that guy that's going like this. And that guy that's shaking his hands. So they want him to remember Samech Aleph Lamed also, as if they're telling the guy, calm down. Sof, Adam, Lamut, you know, the Parnassah is important, but it's not it's not everything. So now that you got the three Shemot, are we clear on the three Shemot?
What was the first one?
The first one is Rashi Tevot, Pe'alef. The second one is Sofei Tevot, Pe'afchav. And then you have the Samech Aleph. With this, I'll attempt to explain to you a Gemara and Berachot. The Gemara and Berachot is talking about the importance of saying Tehillah le-David three times a day. The Gemara says, Kol ha-omer Tehillah le-David shalosh pa'amim bayom, uftach lo shu ben ha'olam haba. Whoever says, Tehillah le-David, that chapter, three times a day, which is Ashrei, which we do say three times a day, uftach lo shu ben ha'olam haba. Wow. So the Gemara says, why? What is so significant about this chapter called Ashrei? So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me because it's written in the style of Aleph Bet. You know, Ashrei says every letter is, every pasuk is another letter of Aleph Bet. Except Nun. But every letter is there. Even Nun is there. So Mech Hashem Mechol and Nofelim. The Nun is there. So therefore, and any chapter that David HaMelech wrote in Aleph Bet is an important chapter because he used all the 22 letters. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that that's the reason, so why don't you read Ashrei Tevim Medarech then? Why don't you read chapter 119 in Tehillim, which has the Aleph Bet 8 times? It has 8 Alephs, 8 Bets, 8 Gimels, 8. You know that chapter? 176 Pesukim, 22 times 8. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you're looking for Aleph Bet, we have that. So the Gemara says, no, because in that, there is the Ikar Pasuk of the Parnassah. And Hashem wants you to pray for it. And the Gemara says, what's the Ikar Pasuk of the Parnassah? So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if you're looking for a pasuk of Parnassah, we have another pasuk in Tehillim, And what's that pasuk in Tehillim? Very good.
Remember the Gemara?
Noten lech, noten lechem, lechol basar. So the Gemara says, why don't you say that chapter? So the Gemara answers, no, the reason why we say Ashrei de'it betarte, it has both, meaning it has Aleph Bet and it has Parnasa. It's got both. So therefore, where Ashrei Timi Medarech has the Aleph Bet, but doesn't have Parnasa. And this Noten Lechol Basar talks about Parnasa, but doesn't have Aleph Bet. Ashrei's got both. De'it betarte. So, Bereshut Kahal Kadosh, I explained the Gemara like this. Well, hold it, boys. If this is a Pasuk of Parnasa, it's got to have one of the keys. It's got to have one of the Shemot in there. Because all things connected to Parnasa has to have the... You ever saw a vault in a bank? When you open a vault in a bank, so you have a key and the clerk has a key. And sometimes there's a third key. And they turn the keys and they open the vault. The vault of Parnasan Shemaim is opened up with these three keys. So therefore, whenever you're going to see a pasuk that has to do with Parnasan, one of the keys have to be there. Where in this pasuk Noten Lechem Lechol Basar do we see the key? Boys, what's the second letter of Noten? What's the second letter of Lechem? And what's the second letter of Lechol? Bingo. You see the hatak right there? So the hatach is there. But you only have one shem. In Poter et Shadecha, you have two. You have the Rashi Tevot and the Sofer. So the Gemara says, De'it betarte. According to the Kabbalah, we learned the Gemara, that the reason why we say Poter et Shadecha, and not Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, De'it betarte. Because it has two shemot, hinted explicitly, as opposed to this that only has one shape. Clear so far?
Yep.
I'll give you another remez to this gentleman, just to keep you excited. Boteh et shadecha masbiya lechol chay rason. There's another thing that the Hachamim talk about, which is a key to Parnasa, and that is Simha. Where there's Simha, there's Beracha. Simha is a key to attract blessing to a person. If you want to remember it in Remez form, the Mishnah says, Ezu Ashir HaSameya. Finish HaSameya. Sameya, Simcha brings to Oshet. You know, you walk into the store and the guy's all depressed. There's a Echa face on. He's always down, all that. So he creates negative energy. A person has Simcha, he has joy. That already can attract the Parnasa. I once heard a proof from this. The Pasuk says, if you remember when Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the tribes before he passed away. So one of the tribes that he blessed was the tribe of Zivulun and Yisachar. What did he tell Zivulun? Semach Zivulun besetecha. V'Yisachar be'ohalecha. What does that mean? Zivulun, you should rejoice when you go out. And Yisachar, you should rejoice in your house, in your tent. Why does Zivulun get a blessing when he goes out and Yisachar gets a blessing in his tent? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the blessing where they need it. Zivulun has a big house. He's a rich man. He needs the beracha when he travels. So semach Zivulun besetecha, when he goes to the Orient, he needs the beracha. Whereas Yisachar is a rabbi. He doesn't have all the luxury. So therefore, he needs the beracha locally. So then each one gets the beracha. Semach Zivulun besetecha, Yisachar bualecha. Or I would say another interpretation: Zivulun supports Yisachar. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, Semach Zivulun besetecha. Zivulun, you will rejoice, meaning you'll make a lot of money when you go out. You know why? Because you're supporting Yisachar in the tent. Because you made that deal, so Semach Zivulun besetecha. But you see clearly that when, out of all the tribes Which tribe did Moshe Rabbeinu bless with Semach? Zebulun. Because that's the tribe of Parnasa. And therefore, to make the Parnasa, he has to have Semach Zebulun. Your key is to bring the Semacha. Now, do you know where in the Torah we have a pasuk that commands us to be Sameach? So it's finished for saying the pasuk.
Yes, we have a positive commandment about somewhere in the Torah that says you have to be with Simcha. You guys don't sing songs. Hazakh Baruch, what do you say? Samachta behagecha. Vehayita ach sameach. Now again, if Simcha is a key for Parnasa, one of the keys have to be here. You see it or no?
Yeah,
that's right.
There we go.
Vayita is a taf, ach is a chav, and Sameach is a chet. The hatach is right there.
Wherever you're going to see these names, you're going to know that already you're in the area of Parnasa. So Simcha already, Vayita ach Sameach, that's what I just said, Rabbi Baruch Mimejvor said. That's the student of the Baal Shem. He made this name over here on Hatach. Now, you must have heard, boys, that there's a mitzvah to give ma'aser. And I'm sure it was somewhere in your life they told you that aser ta'aser means aser b'shvil shetit'asher. That somehow, by giving you 10%, it brings wealth. And you must learn also that God says, you can test me on this. U'bachanuni na bazot. But normally God says, you can't test me, go to the source of Hashem. But when it comes to giving 10%, God says, you test me, put me to the test. You say, God, I'm giving you 10%, I want to see the wealth. And God says, you'll see that I'm going to give you so much blessing. I'm going to open up the windows in heaven till no end. It's going to be so much where you're going to just I don't know what to do. You're not going to want to store the money so much. That's how much Parnasah says that a person gets when he gets his ma'aser. And it's a good deal. Because God says, you give me 10 and you get to keep 90. However, God says, if you don't give the 10, then you keep 10 and I take 90. So, to make God a partner, God could have said, listen, you want to be my partner, I'll take 99%, like the government. But God doesn't say that. God says, I'm very fair, just give me 10 and I'll become your partner. And you give God the 10 and you have a partnership with Hashem. Now there are some people that give 20%. Because the pasuk says aser te aser. Aser te aser is double aser te aser. One tenth and one tenth is one fifth. Two tenths is a fifth. But that's a higher level. The minimum is one maaser and the maximum, let's say, is 20%. Yes?
Is
money also?
It's not
a chayu if you don't want to become rich. Absolutely. If you don't want to become rich and you're happy with whatever you have, then there's no chayu, and then it only applies to wheat and barley and olives and stuff like that. But if you want to become rich, then you have a chance to fulfill it.
The poor people, they live with the master, they have to
get master
too.
No, they do not.
They have to.
No. That's his point. It's not a chiyuv today, like it was in the olden days, on wheat and barley and product. That was the real chiyuv ma'aser. Today, the mitzvah ma'aser is more of a minhag than it is a deen. And ma'aser really in the Torah was on wheat. It was not on money.
Talking about the
same,
what did they make? They give
him,
say, 100% to the poor people,
and
they have to give up
50%. No, I would say let him keep it and pay his bills before he starts giving out charity. You know, but he has a right to give charity. He has to keep his pay his electric bill before he gives it. If it's in the dark, charity to somebody else, no.
Is that probably for me?
What are you asking?
Is that appropriate for Bnei Yeshiva?
Why not? Why not?
No one did
it. Why not? So you get $500 a month, you get $50. Now I will tell you that that's why we call the mitzvah to give charity, we call it tzedakah. Why do we call it tzedakah? Tzedakah is sadi dalit kof hey. In the word tzedakah, it gives us the percentages. How much is sadi? How much?
90.
And how much is kof? How much is kof? So that's the 10%. Correct? 100 to 90 is 10%? What's dalit?
4.
And what's hey?
5.
That's 20%. 4 to 5 is 20%. When you give 1 of 5, you're giving 20%, you're left with 4. So in the word tzedakah, it's hinting to you the percentages of how much you give. It could either be a tzaddikov, which incidentally in Hebrew stands for check. You write a check for 10%. And then you have dalit here. Okay, I don't know what that stands for, but that's 4 or 5. Are we clear so far? Now, there was a great rabbi called Rav Hida. Rav Hida said that when you give ma'aseh, you're able to change your mazal. That even if a person's mazal is, let's say, a weak mazal, but the giving of the ma'asrot has the ability to actually change the mazal of a person. How, he says, is remes. He says, the pasuk says, aseh, ta'aseh. So he learns the pasuk like this. Take ma'aser from the word ta'aser. Aser, aser what? Aser ta'aser. Okay, let's take 10%. What's 10% of 400? That's a min, right? What's 10% of ayin? That's a zayin. What's 10% of sheen? It's a lamed. And what's 10% of resh? So that's called mazalcha. So the pasuk is saying, aser ta'aser. When you take ma'aser from ta'aser, you already influenced mazalcha, you influenced your mazal. Limits. All of the mazim, but you see how emet our Torah is, you see how perfect it is, correct? But based on what we're learning tonight, boys, we learn a deeper secret into the Hayuv of Ma'aser. Why does Ma'aser have such a power? Let's look at it like this, boys. This is the first Shem, right? Aleph Yud. How much is the Pe Aleph Yud equal?
91.
And Hatach, we said, is 428.
Mm-hmm.
And what's Samech Aleph Lamed?
91.
So if we took all the Shemot and we added them, the Shemot, and we added the Shemot, how much will we get, boys? It's a little tricky, 3 digits sometimes, that's tricky.
610?
Why are you asking? 610 is correct. Now that number doesn't mean anything to you. You would have liked it to be 613, then you would have got excited. Oh, 613, 613. But I'm not happy if it is. I want it to be 610. Because this is the key of Parnassah's 610. That's the secret, boys. A maaser. The mem is 40, and ayin is 70. That's 110. And 300.
410.
That's 410. That's the secret you learned tonight of maaser. The secret of maaser is actually the sword of the three shemot that I hinted in the keys of the parnasah. So when a person is giving his ma'asrot properly, he's actually activating the three keys, unbeknownst to him, he's just activating the three keys automatically, and all of a sudden he's bringing the shefa down.
Can you clear how that works for us?
Now, if that's the case, you must have heard in Lashon HaKodesh, there's many ways that we say money. In every language, there's many ways we say money. In English, we say money. We say moolah. We say green. We say dough. Greenbacks.
Benjamin.
Huh?
Benjamin.
Venom?
Benjamin.
Oh, Benjamins, yeah. C notes. So there's many words in every language, because everybody's thinking about money all day long, so they figure out many, many, many different words. Let's talk about the Hebrew words for money for a second. Let's talk about kesef first. Why do we refer to money as kesef? On a simple level, because in the old days, money was made out of silver. Interesting that they didn't make money out of gold. Money usually was made out of silver. For the simple reason, because kesef, the letters go up. Chaf, samech, peh. Whereas zahav, the letters go down. Zayin, hey, peh. So well, they chose a commodity that has a beracha. Kesef also comes from the Hebrew word lichsof. Lichsefa vegam kaletan nafshi. Lichsof is to yearn. Everybody yearns for money. What's called kesef.
They used to say shalmeh, they also money.
What's the word?
Shalmeh.
In what language?
I think it's Persian.
Persian shalmeh?
Because
shalmeh, there's a...
Shalmeh to pay.
Like the shalmeh,
money.
Money. Every language has many words. Money you count twice, yes? Kesef rashetevot. Kesef sofrim pa'amayim. Register them. What else do we call money, boys? Zuz. Why do we call it Zuz? I'll tell you my money. Zuz, because money's always moving. You read the book, The Velocity of Money? Big economist wrote a book called The Velocity of Money. For economies to work, money has to be moving. If everybody puts their money under their mattress, the economy stagnates. So therefore, money is called Zuzim. Zuzim. Always have to be moving. You have to be moving lazuz. Has to be always in flux for money to make money. You have to be moving it. When a person puts his money under his bed, it goes stale. You have to move it around. Zuzi. You said mamon. Mamon is an interesting one. Mamon, are you familiar with the Gemara that says, if you have 100, you want 200. If you have 200, you want 400. Yeah. You're never satisfied. Money is like salt water. You drink, and you're satisfied, and then you get double thirsty. You're never happy. You always want, your eyes are always bigger than your pocket. Rockefeller was a rich man. They asked him, how much money do you need to be happy? He said, a little bit more. And he kept on saying that. Never ends. So if you have... As an example, if you have 40, how much do you want? You want another 40. Right, you want another 40. So therefore, if you look at the word mamon, mamon is men, men, vav, nun. All these letters are doubles. How do you spell men?
Men, men.
You have 40, you want another 40. How do you spell men? Men, men. How do you spell vav? Vav, nun is nun, nun. So therefore, mamon are the letters that are hinting to us that whatever you have, there's always something else that you want. You have men, you want men. You have nun, you want nun. You have vav, and it's in the secret of mamon. So in Hebrew, all the names of money have obvious significance. They have... They have a credence. They have import. What other names you know for money?
Damim.
Damim. That's a very good word. Why would we call money damim? Well, blood money. That means you work, you give your blood to make money. That's a euphemism, you're right. But there's another reason. Because there's a famous Gemara that says three words, Melach Mamon Hasir. I'll write that for you over here. It's a big black one, but it's not big enough. Baruch Hashem. You boys must have good memories because nobody takes notes in this class. I mean, obviously my memory is okay because I don't have any notes. So I'm assuming you have the same memory that I have, that all these great Hiddushim, you just remember it. Or hopefully you'll forget it so I can say it again next time. Melach Mamon Hasir. Melach Mamon Hasir, which means, I don't know, salt, money, lose. What does it mean? Gemara Ketubot. What does the Gemara Ketubot mean? Melach Mamon Hasir. So what they mean to say is, if you want to preserve your money, meaning if you want to salt your money, if you still preserve it, you have to get rid of some of it. So the rabbis give a mashab. In the olden days, how they used to preserve meat? By putting salt on it. The salt would preserve it. So somebody goes to the butcher and buys a 10-pound piece of meat. And he wants to go on the road. So he puts salt on it, knowing that when he puts the salt, it's going to shrink. By the time he comes to eat it, he's going to lose a pound. So it'll only be 9 pounds. But he has to be willing to give up 1 pound to save the nine. But then you have a cheapskate, the Kamsan, and he doesn't want to salt the meat, so he wants to save all 10. I'll give you my share. And he wants to save all 10, and he doesn't salt it, and therefore what happens? He loses all 10. Mm-hmm. So you have to be willing to give up a little in order to save. Similarly, when it comes to money, you have to be willing to give some to charity to preserve it. Yeah. So melach mamon, how do you salt your money? Hasid. You have to get rid of some of it. But those that try to keep the whole pot for themselves, it grows, gets decrepit. It gets spoiled. Melach mamon, hasid. Similarly, in the olden days, there was a belief, and there's still belief today, that from time to time, it's good to give blood. Not only because you're helping somebody else, because by giving blood, you allow your body to regenerate new fresh blood. So therefore, money would be called damin in that sense. You have to be willing to give up some of it in order to regenerate new. But those that don't want to give that any up, so then already the blood goes stale. And that would be a remnant of damin. What else do we call money?
Ma'ot.
Ma'ot. This is true.
What do they come from?
Pruta. Pruta, these are names of coins. So that's like a quarter or a nickel or a dime. So they called it a ma'ot. Ma'a is the name of a coin. Piruta is the name of a coin. Me'od. Me'od is wealth. This is true. There's a reason why money, me'odecha, is mamonecha. I'll explain that one. Although I came to explain the one that you didn't say, but it's fine. I'll get to the one I want to say. Me'od represents money. Me'odecha, your money. Why? The tendency of people that make money is to become ge'eh, become arrogant. The person doesn't have any money, he's humble. Shabbat anim ata tishma. Once he becomes ashir, then he becomes a hoary. He has a few bucks in his pocket, and all of a sudden he becomes a highfalutin guy. He becomes the hubris of wealth. He becomes super inflated. So there was three wealthy people, and even though they were wealthy people, they were the most humble of all people. The wealthiest man that ever lived till he was Adam Arishon. He had everything. The whole world was his. There was nobody else. Whatever was in the world, he acquired. You also had, of course, David HaMelech, who was the king of Israel, a wealthy man. And you had, of course, David HaMelech, and you had Moshe Rabbeinu. Some say Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the wealthy man as well. He had an army of 318 soldiers. Even Bill Gates had an army of 318 soldiers. Wealth, it says, Avraham Kavet. He was heavy with the Zahar and the Kesef. And what did it say about Avraham Avinu? He says, I'm nothing. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say with all the wealth that he had from the chiselings of the Luchot? I'm nothing. And what did David HaMelech say with all his wealth? He said, Anuchi Tola'a. So therefore, Me'od is Rashi Tevot, Moshe, Avraham, David. So it's hinting to us that even though you have Me'od, but don't forget the Me'od of those two Sadiqim, that their money did not go to their head. That the more that they had, the more they were. But there's another Shem, boys, that we have for money, and that is Kemah. You're familiar with the Mishnah that says, "In En Kemah, En Torah." En Torah, En Kemah. What does that Mishnah mean anyway? I'm not too sure what that Mishnah means, to be honest with you. "In En Kemah, En Torah." So let's go to the end. The end is easier. "In En Torah, En Kemah." What does that mean?
If you have no Torah, you have no money.
Correct. Which means the source of all beracha is learning Torah. So "in En Torah, En Kemah." So what? The Mishnah is contradicting itself. Then the Mishnah says "in En Kemah, En Torah." So what comes first? Is it Torah comes first or Kemah comes first?
It's a relationship.
What's the relationship?
Just as much as you put in, you get out for both.
So the Torah is equal to money.
Can't learn without money, you're saying.
So I'm just asking you, what's more important, Kema or Torah?
Well, here or in Shemaim?
I don't know, here and in Shemaim, both. It has to be Torah. So I have no problem with the end of the Mishnah. Amen, Torah and Kema. All the Berachah comes from Torah. But the Mishnah says, Amen, Kema and Torah. So maybe we learn the Mishnah like this. Amen, Torah and Kema. If there's no Torah, there's no Kema. However, in En Kema, if you see that there's no Kema, you know what the reason is? En Torah, because there's no Torah. Mm-hmm. Is that what we learn? See how we learn the Mishnah?
I repeat it.
No, it's giving you both sides of the coin, that's all it is. Which is to tell you Torah is the main item. Right. And if a person goes, "In En Kema, how come I'm not making Kema? Where's all the Kema?" En Torah, that's all. So it's giving you both sides of it. That's one way of learning the Mishnah. Anyway, why would we call money Kema? All right, flour is a staple item, bread, dough, right? That would be in English. So Kema, I like it, it's good. But I'll tell you the secret. The three Shemot of Parnasa. So Hatach, correct? The Hatach starts with the head, so that's eight. And the Samech Aleph Lamed starts with the Samech. That's 60. So that's 68. And Pe Aleph Yud starts with a Pe. That's 80. What's 80 and 68? 148, which is Kemah. So the reason why we call it Kemah is in order to hint the three Shemot of Parnasah. The Rashi Tevot of the Shemot of the Parnasah are Gematria Kemah. That's the secret of Kemah. We clear so far? We have to conclude this talk. The Tzaddikim say, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that on every holiday we're judged for different things. For example, on Sukkot we're judged for water. Behag nidonim ala mayim. On Rosh Hashanah everybody's judged, like in Pesach. What are we judged on Pesach?
Torah.
Well, behag haPesach nidonim ala tivuah. The beracha of the tivuah, of the sustenance, is on Pesach. And the Chachamim say because when the Jewish people came out of Egypt, if you remember, it's on that holiday that the Jewish people became wealthy. The first time as a nation that the Jewish people struck rich as a national, on a national level, was Yitzhak Mitzrayim. God promised Abraham, "B'harechin yitzu b'rechush gadol." And when we came out, it says the poorest amongst us had 100 donkeys laden with gold and silver. That means we became instant billionaires overnight. That's a classic case of rags to riches. We went from Abadim to Halachas and Shulchan Aruch on the night of Pesach. This is an irony. You're supposed to use your nicest dishes and your nicest vessels and make the most beautiful table. Why? In order to show Oshet. We came out with wealth. What do we do on Pesach? Everybody has the Pesach dishes. They could have the good dishes away. And they take out the glass or whatever. They take out paper. It's the opposite. On the night of Pesach, you're supposed to show wealth, because it was on these nights that we came out of Mitzrayim with Osher Gadol. Clear? And that's why on Pesach, the Tzaddikim say, it's a key to pray for the Parnassah. The Parnassah was given to Am Yisrael once this time of year, and for every time of year when this holiday comes around, there's a shefa, there's a beracha. Good? Maybe that's why, boys, the holiday is called Pesach. Because it has the three Shemot. The Pe Aleph Yud, the Samech Aleph Lamed, and the Het Tav Chaf. The Shem Pesach is a remez to the three Shemot of the Parnassah. So therefore, somebody is going to ask you, why they call it Pesach? Oh, he passed over. Okay, so you're still in kindergarten. You're still with the passed over the houses. Now, I'm not saying that didn't happen. But that's for a kindergarten answer. That's a good answer. He passed over the houses of the Jewish people when he was killing the firstborns. That's shot. I'm not making the tzaddik. But eventually, when you get a little old, you have to upgrade your upgrade the computer. You have to upgrade your information. And therefore, the real secret of the three letters of Pesach is the secret of Poteach Et Yadecha U'Mashpi'a L'Kol Chai Rason. Now, how are you going to put this into Yisrael? Pe Aleph Yud, Samech Aleph Lamed, Het Tav Chaf. Very good. Pesach is also Gematria Kemah. And therefore, what's the major food of Pesach?
Matzah.
The matzah, which is all Kemah. So therefore, there's many connections. So when you're eating the matzah, the kavanah of the matzah is kemah, which is parnassah. So instead of eating the matzah begrudgingly, you say, oh, I can't eat it, cardboard, you know, did I eat one bite, did I eat enough? People travel to China to make parnassah. If I told you, all you got to do is eat a few matzot and it's a single line of parnassah, there's all the kemah over there. Much easier than eating a matzah than flying to China. These are easy ideas in order to enhance a person's parnassah. That's the secret of the matzah. That's the secret of the matzah. All right, double time, we'll stop right here.